Come on, man. You know you're ready. All right. How many is ready to walk in the zone, man? You want to live in the zone. Anybody ready to live in the zone today? Amen. No, Pastor, I don't want to live in the zone. I want to walk. I don't want to walk in the zone. No, we all want to live in the zone. You know, it's a phrase that was coined when people begin to walk. You know, athletes, if a quarterback gets hot and he has 25 out of 30 passes, they're like, man, that guy is in the zone today. When a basketball player starts making shot after shot and he's like 10 out of 12 or 12 out of 15, they go, man, he was in the zone today. He's like he couldn't miss. When a businessman goes and everything he does seems like he just touches and it works out for him. If you're sales, you know, and everybody you go to that day, it's like everybody wants to buy something, and the people nobody wants to sell to, you go out there and they buy the most expensive car you have. It's like you're in the zone. Everybody's like, man, you're in the zone. It's a phrase that means you're walking in a place that's above average, you know, high above average, and you are living at a high level. Well, God has always designed in our life a place that we can walk that's above average. He's not calling you and I to be average, okay? He's not calling you and I to live an average life. He calls our life exciting. He says he wants to give us a great adventure. He wants us to live in a blessed place that he has for us. But living in this zone is all about putting God back where he needs to be in our life. 2 weeks ago, we talked about do you pass the test? And it was a message on tithing and what is the biblical principle behind tithing? What is the test of tithing? And if you missed that sermon, I highly recommend you go back online and listen to it. Some of you tithe, but you don't understand the principle behind tithing, other than, you know, God's asked you to tithe. And so we break it down, really understanding why tithing is important and what God's word really says about it. What is the biblical tithe and where it originates from? And we confirm that it's a New Testament thing and an Old Testament thing. It's a God thing. The tithing is a God thing. And today we're going to talk about living in the zone. We're going to talk about who was first. Who was first? Turn to your neighbor and say, who was first? Who was first? See, this is a question that we all struggle with, really, is that every one of us really have a desire to put ourselves first, right? Come on, let's just be really real that all of us can struggle at times with putting ourselves first. And if you're ever going to get into the zone that God wants you to hit on all cylinders, man, where you're maxing out the potential God has for you, it's all about putting God back first in your life, in every area of your life. And when that is not into the most center part of who you are as a Christian, if God is not first in your life, everything else is not going to fall in line. You're going to have missing pieces. It's kind of like the domino effect. You know, you've seen people set up those big dominoes and they want to set the records, but they push it over and it goes all through the maze and all that. And it's like if one domino's out, it's like it runs the whole thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like, man, all of them fall the way they're supposed to. And guys get frustrated all the time and effort. It's so important that we make sure that we putting God first in our life and saying, God, if I put you first in my life, then the rest of the dominoes of my life begin to fall into place. That's really the truth of Christianity. It's the truth that not only of our salvation, but it's not only accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but then from that point on, it's learning to put him first, to die to my own selfish nature, and putting God first in my life. If I want to live in the zone, I'm going to learn to put God first in my life. And I've never met anybody who never struggled with this, who everyone I know struggles with this point. It's an ongoing practice in our life of learning to put God first. We can say God is first in our life, but if we don't put our actions where our mouth is, how many know it doesn't mount to a hill of beans? It really doesn't, does it? I can tell my wife, honey, I love you. You're the only girl I love. But if I never spend my time with her, if I never give her my affection, my love, if I never plan to go out on dates with her, if I never put her first at times in my life when I can, then my actions don't line up. She's going to say, he says he loves me, but does he really love me? Because my actions don't follow my words. It's not enough to say, God, I love you, but my actions need to learn to line up with what I'm declaring out of my mouth. So let's get to it today. Let's get right into the meat of it. We're going to look at 1 Kings 17. We'll pick it up in verse 8 here in just a second. But before we go any further, let me tell you the backdrop of the story is Israel is in a major recession. Israel's in a recession. There's a drought going on. And what is happening here is God commands Elijah, says, hey, go to the city. I'm going to have a widow there. She's going to feed you. Let's pick up the rest of the story. In the middle of a drought, in the middle of a recession, this is what happens. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and called to her and said, please bring to me a little water in a cup that I may drink it. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord lives this day, she was saying, listen, I promise on God that I do not have the bread, because I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little bit of oil in a jar. See, this is my plan. I'm gathering up for a couple of sticks that I may go prepare for it myself and my son, that we may eat this last meal and we must die. After that, we're going to starve. That's what she's saying. Then Elijah said to her, look what he says. He says, do not fear. Go and do as I have commanded you. But make me, look what he says, but make me a cake from it. What? First. Everybody say first. Make me a cake first, and then bring it to me, and then afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord your God of Israel, if we do this, the bin of your flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of your oil run dry. Until when? Until the day the Lord sends the rain on the earth. So God is saying, if you will feed Elijah first, if you'll do what he's asking you to do, even though I know you only have enough for just a small meal for you and your son, you're planning on making this, and then you're going to die. It's your last meal. Obviously, she's a widow. This is probably her only son, as far as we know. So therefore, she had no means of receiving any help. And so in her mind, she's already resolved. This is it. This is it. There's a famine going on. I don't have anybody else to provide for me. Me and my son are going to eat this last meal, then we're probably going to starve to death. And so God's asking her to give up. And Elijah says, bring it to me first, and then what's left over, you guys can eat. Now that sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? First of all, that's just a crazy statement when you think about it. All right, you got one meal left. Bring me to one first, and then you guys have what's left over. I mean, think about him asking that in the middle of a recession, to ask in the middle of famine. It's about as crazy as you hear in your pastor's tantrum and say, God wants us to honor him first with our tithe and offering. Because we're like, God, pastor, maybe another time, but you know what? Right now, it's just not a good time. I mean, when terrorist attacks are happening, markets are crashing, when economy's up and down, nothing's stable, when tornadoes come and wreck a city and people are worried about are their jobs going to be secure, are they ever going to get the job back they want, they're struggling to find work, struggling to find new homes, and all these things are happening, this is just not a good time. I mean, it's kind of crazy to stand up and say, hey, give to God, when I don't even know where I'm myself, how I'm going to take care of my family. I understand that principle. This is really the same kind of attitude right here. Because it was crazy for Elijah to say that. Hey, make me my cake first and bring it to me. It's what God's wanting you to do. Feed me first and then take the rest for yourself. And God says, if you do this, that you'll never run out of food as long as the recession is going on. As long as the famine is going on, that God is going to take care of you. There will always be enough in there for you to eat. We got to realize in our life that God is setting us up, because what we don't understand about the story is this, that when we hear the story, that many people think the story is all about Elijah being fed, right? God was trying to provide for Elijah. God was trying to cook for Elijah. But we are totally missing the story if we think that, because we see in Scripture a few verses before and even after that, we see where God sent the ravens to feed Elijah. It said the ravens, he commanded the ravens of the field to bring him the meat of the land. It says even one time later on after that, it says that he was hungry and he fell into a deep sleep. And it says he sent an angel to prepare food for him. The angel cooked him a cake, it says, and they had the fires, the coals going, and it wakes him up. The angel wakes him up, says, Elijah, wake up, your food's ready. an angel of the Lord had prepared him a food out of nowhere. I mean, this is where we find the first angel food cake in the Bible, right here. And this to be clarified here, Elijah in some translations, this translates, he says, hey, bake me a cake first. And so and then the angel prepared a cake for him. So I just want you to know right now, we have scripture clarifying that the men of God love cake, okay? The men of God, we love cake. But if you're thinking that God had to use this woman to feed Elijah, you're missing the story. Because this was not what was happening. God was going to feed Elijah, and God did feed Elijah. What God was wanting to do was he's wanting to save the woman. He's wanting to do a miracle in her life. He's wanting for her to be set up for a miracle. God knew that she was in need of a miracle. God knew that she was running out. And so he put out a test saying, if you'll trust me with your last right here as you have and give it to me first, I'm going to make sure that you don't starve. I'm going to make sure that you always have enough. And see, the miracle was not about Elijah getting fed. The miracle was God was setting the widow up for the miracle she needed in her life. I'm telling you, that's good right there. We got to get that down in our heart and realize it. Chris, crank me up here this morning. I'm feeling it right now. I'm feeling my Wheaties this morning. And man, I want to get cranked up here because I'm going to preach my voice out if I don't. Because I'm feeling this thing coming on me that God is wanting to set you and I up for a miracle. But oftentimes we say, God, when's my miracle going to happen? God, when's my miracle going to happen? And we're always wanting our miracle. And have we put out in faith and set ourselves up for a miracle? Have we done the very first fruits of what he's asked us to do to put ourselves in a position to receive a miracle? See, God is wanting to do something. There's something I realized here is this. I wrote this down. I think it's good. I want you to write it down. The immature Christian says, God, bless me first, and then I will give. The immature Christian says that. God, bless me, and as you bless me, then I'll give. Listen, anybody can do that. Listen, how much? It's a lot easier to go buy your kid that thing he's wanting when you get that big tax refund in the mail, a check in the mail. And the other day, we could like, no, not today, son. Wait, you know. But it's a lot easier the day you get something blessed to you, isn't it? I mean, it's a lot easier to give out of abundance when you have something abundance given to you. You're like, hey, it's all going out, man. This is great. Dad's buying dinner tonight, man. You kids can eat off the adult menu tonight. It's going to be good. I mean, it's just something about the abundance comes out when you're blessed. But when things are tight, it's like, man, you kids are going to drink water. You're eating off the kids' meal. But, Dad, I'm 19. I don't care. You're going to, you know what I'm saying? Come on, don't look at me. I'm the only one that's ever been there before. Okay. But there's something. It's easy to give when we're being blessed, right? It takes faith to give before you're blessed. And see, the immature Christian says, God, bless me first, then I will give. It takes the mature Christian who say, I will give to God first, then he will bless me. You see the pattern here of faith, that I'm going to give to God in faith, and therefore I'm setting myself up to walk in a blessing. I'm lifting the curse that we talked about 2 weeks ago, and I'm walking in the blessing, the provision. He says he will provide for us. He will overflow to us when we trust him with our tithe and our offering. He says he will fight off the devourer. He will do battle on our behalf. This is the promise we walk in. It's the miracle we can walk in, but we gotta line ourselves up. We gotta learn to pick God first. So there's a scripture, there's a story in the first part of Genesis here that we're going to get to here in just a second. And as we get to the story in Genesis, it's a story about Cain and Abel. Anybody remember Cain and Abel? Yeah, two brothers, the first two brothers in the scripture here. Let's go to that scripture in Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 and 7 through 7. It says, when they grew up, talking about Cain and Abel, Abel became a shepherd. And while Cain cultivated the ground, and when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented what? Some, everybody say some, this is important, some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift. What did he bring? The best of the what? The first. The best of the firstborn of lambs from his flock. So the Lord accepted Abel's gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will," look what he says, "you will be accepted if you'll just do what is right. But if you refuse, if you allow rebellion to come in, if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door. It's eager to control you. But look at this command. But you must subdue it and be its master." We have got to learn to control the greedful spirit that will try to come on us. We got to learn to say, you know what? I'm not going to allow greed or fear or selfishness to control my life. I am called to be a master over it. I'm called to have that spirit of selfishness placed under my feet, under subjection to the authority of God. So God, when I get under your authority, I place that spirit of selfishness under your authority and under my authority. Because I am not going to allow myself, selfishness, spirit to rule my life. Selfishness leads to what? It leads to mismanagement of funds. It leads to unwise purchases. It leads to affairs. It leads to stupid mistakes. It leads to neglecting of your family. Come on, selfishness gets us in a lot of trouble, doesn't it? Selfishness will get us in places we don't want to go. We've all been there. We've all got the t-shirt and we've worn on it. Okay, we know what we're talking about. Selfishness leads us down a path that we don't want to go. So he says we must learn to get the selfish spirit under subjection. And how do we do that? By giving God first. It says Abel had learned the principle of giving God the first, the best. But Cain gave to God too, didn't he? But Cain didn't give the first. Cain brought what? Cain brought the leftovers. Cain was like, I'll keep the better crops for myself. These crops here, they're not the best crops. I'll give those to God. This is what I need to ration out for this season. I had this much left over. God, you can have the leftover. God, I'm bringing it to you. They both brought offerings. One to God, no, God, I'm picking out the best of my cattle. God, I'm picking out the very best offering I can bring you, and I'm going to give to you that one first. And I'll deal with the leftovers. But God, I'm first of all going to give you first. God accepted one. God rejected the other. We're the same way in our life. We got to make sure we guard ourselves. Pastor, I understand you're talking about giving, but my giving is between me and God, okay? It's between me and God, and I'll give to God the way I want to give to God. Sure, that's fine, but it makes about as much sense as saying, you know what? I'll love my wife the way I want to love my wife. No, God's word tells me how I'm supposed to love my wife. I'll honor my husband the way I want to honor my husband. That's fine, but God's word tells you exactly how you need to honor your husband. Come on now, turn to your neighbor and say, he's preaching to you. He's not preaching to me, he's preaching to you. This is good stuff this morning. I guess I'm the only one that struggles with these areas of my life. I know that, so this message is really for me, I know, more than you. Right? No, this is all of us. We realize that if we're not careful, we'll allow the spirit of rebellion to come in, and it will say, I'll do it my way. You know, I'll figure out. I'll give to God. I'll do my math and give God my math. No, God's already established what he wants us to give. He's already established how he wants me to love. He's already established how he wants me to serve. He's already established how I'm supposed to love him with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, my spirit, everything I have. He wants it all. It all belongs to him. And so in this, let me ask you two things. First of all, do you have the heart of Cain? Number one, do you have the heart of Cain? Jude in chapter 11, Jude only got one chapter, so I said chapter 11, verse 11. Jude in verse 11 says it's like this: "Woe to them, for they have gone in a way of Cain," okay? And it describes the way they've gone. Basically, he's saying that these people are operating in the spirit of Cain. They have run greedily in the era of Balaam for profit. And they perished in the what? The rebellion of Korah. He's saying these people have the spirit of Cain. The spirit of Cain is what? Greed and rebellion. I'll give God what I want to give him, and I'll do it on my way. He wants the first, I'll give him the last. He wants 10%, I'll give him 5%. It all adds up. Because in my mind, I got it all figured out, and God's okay with it. Me and God, we're cool, man. We got it figured out. You are highly, highly deceiving yourself if you think that's the answer. God's word's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His commands are true, and so are His promises for us. He is wanting you and I to line up with Him and say, God, I'm rebuking the spirit of greed, and I'm rebuking the spirit of rebellion. You see what that led to? Cain became bitter because Abel's offering was accepted. It says he went out and murdered his brother because his bitterness ruled his heart. Because he was blaming him. God, I'm blaming my brother. He's the reason why. He brought the first fruits, and man, because of that, his offering was better than mine, and mine wasn't accepted. How many of us do that, really? How many of us need to stop blaming other people for the position we're in and take a look in the mirror and say, I'm responsible for my part? Thank you for that amen. Hallelujah, right there. Isn't that true? If we would just look ourselves in the mirror and say, quit blaming everybody else. Well, my parents didn't teach me the value of a dollar. Well, I didn't know I was supposed to. This person did this to me. Listen, I'm not responsible for how someone treats me. I'm only responsible to how I react. And we need to quit blaming everybody else for the situation we're in. Look in the mirror and say, God, there's things in your word that say, if I will put you first, that you will bless me in despite of who raised me. God, you will bless me in spite of what I know and what's been done to me. God, you will bless me in spite of my circumstance. God, you will bless me in spite because I'm putting the principles of God first in my life. Look what Proverbs 19:3 says. It says it like this. People ruin their lives by their what? Own foolishness, and then they're angry at the Lord. We do foolish things, and then we get mad at God. We signed up for all these credit cards. We went and refinanced this, refinanced that. We took out 2 or 3, 4 different car loans. And then we went, God, why don't you help my finances, God? Why am I always struggling? Hello? Take Dave Ramsey. He'll tell you exactly why. You know, come on, let's look at the mirror and see. We're in the predicament we are because we've made some bad choices. But the great thing is this. God is the God who redeems. He's the God who takes bad choices, and as we start doing the right choices, as we start doing the right principles He's laid before us, our life can get realigned back into alignment, and things can begin to fall back in place. And things that took you years to get you into the place you're at, God can speed up the process and bring you out fast. But you've got to use faith, and you've got to say, God, I'm trusting you in every area of my life. God can restore back the things that have been stolen from you. God can restore back the things, the stupid mistakes we made. It's not even used to trying, Pastor. I've blown it with my kids. Man, I should have done so much better, and I realize now I didn't give them any of my time. I'm telling you, when you say, God, I'm going to honor you in every area of my life, I'm going to go back to my children, I'm going to apologize, and I'm going to tell them, I'm sorry I wasn't the father I should have been. I'm sorry I didn't spend the time I should have spent with you. See if God doesn't take the Holy Spirit and begin to mend seasons that you missed. It'll never make up. That's right. It'll never make up. We'll never get those years back. But God can begin to heal those hearts and become the years you have in front of you become the most fruitful years you've ever had in your life. I'm speaking to somebody here today. The Holy Spirit's speaking that to you right now. God is wanting to do a miracle in your life and your relationship with your children right now. The Holy Spirit's saying right now, He said, Father, I want you to go and I want you to apologize to that child today. And you get on the phone and say, I'm sorry, I missed it. The Holy Spirit's wanting to heal you. He's wanting to heal the relationship as well. Come back and allow Him to do that. Today we got to learn, say, God, to give Him all of our first. Look what it says. Scripture talks about it once again. Proverbs 3, look what it says here. Honor the Lord God with what? Our possessions. Boy, what's our possessions? Everything we own. Honor the Lord God with everything we own. And with what? The first fruits of your increase. How do I honor God with my possessions? Simply saying this, God, what I have is yours. What I have has come from you. God, what you allow me to have is because you have blessed me with it. If you want me to open my home to host people in for a life group, if you want me to open my home and cook for people, if you want me to open my home and show the love of God, I will do it. Amen. Thank you for that this morning. God, if you want me to use my car to pick somebody up and give them a ride to church, I will. God, if you speak to me to give my car away that I already own, clear and free, I will. Because I believe if I'm obedient, then you've got something else ready for me. You'll take care of me. What I have is not mine. What I have belongs to the Lord. If he asks me, I want to do it. My possessions, everything I have belongs to the Lord. Everything. It says also what? And with what? The first fruits of your increase. Everything that we make money on, he says we're supposed to bring the first fruits of that. What's the promise afterwards? He says again, your barns are going to be filled with plenty. Man, your storehouses are going to be running over, overflowing, your vats with the new wine. He's saying, man, I'm going to take care of you. Just trust me with the first fruits. Exodus 23:19 says it again. The first of the first fruits. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. God is wanting you and I to realize this again. Giving him leftovers doesn't take any faith. Giving him leftovers is charity. God doesn't want your charity. He wants your first. He wants your best. What does a righteous God want from you and I? Everything I am. That's what he wants. He wants everything I am. He wants our first. He wants our first. He says this principle can be found again in Joshua 6:19. I'm sorry, first of all, I want to go to the heart of Abel. Do you have the heart of Abel? Let's go to the heart of Abel. We're going to read the scripture in just a minute. But the heart of Abel was just the opposite of Cain, wasn't it? See, the heart of Abel was said, God, I want to bring you the first fruits. Hebrews 11:4 says it like this. It was faith. We're talking about Abel, man. It was faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was righteous, a man. That God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us as a living example of faith by the life he lived. Giving God our leftovers, he doesn't want them. He wants our first. He wants our first. Everybody say that God wants my first. We're seeing this all through Scripture. God wants my first. Joshua 6:19. This principle's backed up again. But all the silver, all the gold, and the vessels of the bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. What's the scripture talking about? The children of Israel will go into the promised land. The first city, okay, the first city they came to was Jericho. And in that first city, God said, I want you to bring me all of the gold, all of the silver. Now, did he ask them to do that in any other city they went to? No. But he asked them to do that only where? The first. See, there's a principle. Are we getting the principle that God's trying to scream out to you and I that God wants the first? There's something about the first. There's a thread here. We're following this thread, right? We're following this thread of the first. There's something about the first that God wants. He doesn't want my math. He wants the first. In Genesis 22, we see where Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to offer up your only son, right? Bring me your firstborn son. Now, if Abraham had 12 sons, I could say, Abraham's like, all right, God, I'll give you the one I really don't like, you know? I'll give you the one that's caused me a lot of problems. Come on, I'm just throwing out something there, very funny, all right. But he didn't ask him. He asked Abraham to give up the man who never had a child, who had a miracle child given to him way beyond his childbearing years. And God says, now I want you to sacrifice him. Give me the firstborn of your son. Of course, we know the story where he went to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him and said, Abraham, I was just testing you. Look up. I'm providing the ram. I just wanted to see, are you willing to give me the first? Abraham, you passed the test. You passed the test, Abraham. Were you willing to give me the first? Matthew 6:33. Look what Jesus said. Seek what? First. First. It's this thread that we keep finding all through Scripture, Earl. This first, the kingdom of God, and what else? And his righteousness and all these things then are added to us. The first thing we do is seek after advancing the kingdom of God. He says, if we'll do that, everything else will fall into line. But when we begin to seek after our own agenda first, we get out of alignment and things are not going to fall into order the way God wants it to fall in order in our life. There's an alignment. And why is this important? Why does God want the first? Why does God want the first? Why is God upset when we don't bring him the first? We find this principle all through Scripture, and we find it standing out even more in 1 Corinthians 15 and also in Colossians 1. we see this principle that says this, that Christ is the first fruits. Scripture calls Christ what? The first fruits. And so this is what God's saying. I'm going to give you and I my only begotten Son. I'm going to give you my first fruits. He's going to be Redeemer of the world. He's going to be your Savior. I'm giving you the first fruit. I'm giving you my best. And now I'm asking you to turn around and trust me with your first fruit. It's a place of trust. Is he asking us to do anything he hasn't done? No. He's asking us to do the very thing he did, by example, giving up his first fruits. God gave us his best. Let me give you some ideas as we get ready to close. Some ideas of first fruits. How would our world change if we gave the first fruits to God every day? What if I got up and the first words that I say in the morning are not, "You kids better get out of bed! You're running late from school! Somebody better get the breakfast going! Somebody!" I mean, come on. What if my first words before I went into mom mode or dad mode, what if my first words when I get up in the morning to God, "I'm going to thank you, Lord, that you have made me wonderfully and fearfully I'm made. God, I'm going to thank you, Lord, even though I ran for you at times in my life. God, you have forgiven me. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are a great God. God, I thank you that you've restored my life. God, I thank you and praise you because you've got so much bigger plans than I know. God, I thank you that, God, you are making me the head and not the tail. God, I thank you. What would happen if the first words out of our mouth were words of praise, words of worship? How would our day change? What if we got up and the first words we read were promises of the Lord, scriptures of the Lord? What about this? If those of you who have smartphones, what's the first thing you do when you grab your phone in the morning? Come on. You're checking your texts, checking your messages, going on Facebook, checking the Twitter, checking the Instagram, checking the Snapchat, right? I got, what are we doing? We're checking all these things. We're doing all these things. What are we doing? What if it happens the first thing we did was pull up our UVerse Bible app and get the scripture of the day and say, "All right, God, before I put my eyes on any other words, I'm putting my eyes upon the word of the Lord." "Oh, Pastor, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to read my Bible. I tried that. I stink at it. I don't have any time to read my scripture." Let me tell you this too. If we just give God a tenth of the time we spend on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we have all the time in the world to read scripture. Let's get real here, okay? So let's take advantage of technology. Have that verse of the day pop up the first thing in the morning. God, before I read anything else, God, I'm going to put the word of God in my heart. I'm going to read a few verses right here. What's the verse of the day? Wonder how our day would change. Before I turn the radio on and listen to any of the music, before I turn on talk radio, God, the first thing I'm going to hear this morning when it comes to music, I'm going to put on some worship. I'm going to put on some praise as I'm getting ready for work, as I'm getting the kids ready. I want to fill my mind and my spirit. I want to put you first before I ever go put on some 80s workout cardio. Come on now. God, I'm going to put you first. What would happen if I put that in my mind first, in my heart first? What would happen if I say, "God, every time I'm paid, the first thing I'm going to do is give back to you what's yours. I'm aligning myself up." What would change in my life? Instead of worrying about, do I have enough this month? Am I going to make it? God, I'm trusting you. If I will honor you, that God, you're going to honor me and you're going to allow. Listen, you'll never figure it out in your head. It'll never make sense on the calculator. But I can tell you time and time again that God's been faithful. I can tell you time and time again that God has done miracles and miracles. Let me encourage you. All of you young marrieds here, this becomes a principle that sometimes it's hard to come to agreement on as you're learning to do this. And I would tell you this. I've been doing this thing for a long time, and I've seen a lot of young couples come through the church. And I've seen couples who were still in college and married, and they begin to tithe off their job at the convenience store and tithe off of their job at the fast food place. And when they graduated, they got accepted into internship programs. And then a year later, they're making money that nobody else their age is making. Yep. Why? How do they move so fast? How do they get favor? It's the favor of the Lord. When you honor the Lord, it follows you. There's people here, you've been promoted. You're not that good. I just tell you right now. You're not that good. But the hand of God has been upon you because you have honored the Lord. People, you're here, you've gone through some hard seasons of recession. You've lost jobs. You scrambled for work and you didn't know how your next meal was going to come at times. But you're still here because the hand of God sustained you in your time of recession. The hand of God has fed you. The hand of God has sustained you because why? Because you've honored the Lord. I'm telling you, it works. It works. It works. It works. As we honor the Lord in our first, He will honor us. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. Let's remember the story. Let's remember the story. It simply says this, that God, the miracle you wanted to do was to the widow. The miracle you wanted to do was to the widow, not to the prophet. This is what I'm telling you. In a couple weeks, man, we're going to give. Some of you are going to give some offerings you've never given before. God's going to challenge you. Some of you are just learning to pay your tithe for the first time, and I applaud you. Great. Awesome. I'm proud of you. Some people here, you're going to give for the first time, and you're setting yourself up for a miracle like you've never been set before. Let me tell you this. The church doesn't need your money. You know that? Let me say that. Why? Because God will take care of Destiny Church. I will tell you that. God will take care of Destiny Church. He has. When we didn't have anybody giving, God took care of us. When we didn't have a way of getting to a building, God opened up a way. When we didn't have money to remodel a building, God remodeled the building. When we didn't have land to buy the land that we're buying, God's opened up a door for us to buy the land we're buying. I'm just going to tell you, God is going to take care. The miracle He's wanting to do is not in Destiny Church. The miracle He's wanting to do is in your life. He's wanting to set you up for a miracle. So I want you to begin to pray about it. Today, if you say, Pastor, I'm ready to put God first in every area of my life. Not just talking about finances. I'm talking about your time. Listen, what would change if we come in and say, God, my talents, the first of my talents belong to the Lord. See, many times our attitude's reversed. Well, I've got this talent. I'm gifted. I'm a gifted teacher, but you know what? I teach kids all week. And the last thing I want to do when I come to church is teach kids. I can understand that. I can understand that. On the common sense, I understand that. But listen, when it comes to God's plan, God, if I'm gifted teacher, then I need to be using my gifts teaching. If I'm gifted at construction, well, I work for myself all week long. I do construction, and Pastor, don't call me if the church needs anything done. I just wore out. I tell you, no, we need to make our talents available for the church. Make our talents available to God. God, I want to give you any area of expertise, God, I want to use to advance the kingdom of God. Listen, the schedule, we should be planning our schedule around God's schedule. We should not be planning God's schedule around your schedule. I'll preach to the choir up here. Any amens up here? Okay. Let me just tell you where it's at. Society will manipulate your schedule. They will fill your schedule up with everything else. If you don't say, God, I'm putting you and my family first, nobody else is going to do it. But saying, God, I'm giving you my time. God, I'm giving you my talent. And God, I'm giving you my treasure. I'm going to put you first. He isn't asked for your last. He doesn't want your last. He doesn't want your charity. He wants your first fruits. Why? Because that's what He's asked us. In return, He's going to give us His best as well. And I can guarantee you this, God's best is a lot better than our best. God's best is a lot better than man's best. God's favor is a lot better than man's favor. Come on, give God a hand clap one more time. Amen. Today, if you say, Pastor, I'm ready. Some of you here say, Pastor, I'm ready. I've been doing it at times, but today I want to renew and say, God, I want to learn to put you first in all of my life. I want to learn to give my first fruits to you. If you want to step into agreement with that word, I want to invite you to step out of your seat right now. Come to the front and join me. Say, Pastor, I'm putting my first things first. I want to give God the best praise. I want to learn to give God the first part of my day. I want to learn to give God the first words I speak. I want to learn to give God the first things I hear. I want to learn to give God the first things I see. I want to learn to give God the first thing of everything in my time, my talent, my treasure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. As you come in and scoot into the little front there, make room for those coming in the back there. Thank you. Let's raise our hands here. Father, I thank you, Lord, as we raise our hands to you as a sign of surrender. Lord, I thank you, God, you're teaching us, God, to break loose from a selfish spirit. God, you're teaching us to break loose from rebellion. God, you're teaching us, God, to put you first and trust you first. God, it's a hard thing at times in our life. But God, I believe you are stretching us and you're calling us out. And God, you're wanting to break free some people. God, I believe that, God, you're wanting to set some people up for a miracle in their life. God, you're wanting to change some things. And God, you're setting us up right now as we learn to put you first. As we learn to say, God, I'm giving you all. Yes. Come on, let's sing these words that draw me close to him. You're
draw
all that I want.
Draw me close to you.
Come on, tell him.
And never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. Help me know you are. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are. Help me, Lord. Help me know you.
Let's raise our hands to the Lord. Can we do that, Father? Lord, as we raise our hands and surrender. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing something in our heart. God, you are changing us. God, you're allowing us to die to ourselves. God, you're allowing us to change some things in our life. And Father, I'm thankful, Lord, that some of the old things we've carried in for many years, God, you're bringing away from us. God, some of the things we've been carrying around for a long time, God, you are repositioning us now. God, you're getting ready to set us up, God, for something great. Lord, I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my spirit. God, you are setting us up, God, for a miracle. God, you're setting us up for miracle after miracle, testimony after testimony, as people are going to learn, God, to give you the first of their time, the first of their talents, and the first of their treasure to you. God, I praise you, God, and thank you, Lord, for open hearts to receive this word. And Father, we're saying yes. We're saying yes. We will bring you the first. Forgive us for bringing you leftovers. God, we now ask that, Lord, you receive the first. And we're going to be people who bring you the first, the best we can. And we say together, if you agree with that word today, put your hands together. Say, God, accept that today. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Now listen to me today before you leave. Remember, Vision Sunday, 2 weeks. Begin to pray about it now. And the last thing is, don't forget tonight, we're having a chili feed and pie auction. It's going to be a lot of fun, some good food. Bring some money. See if you can run somebody up on a pie. But you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. All right. God bless you.